Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I'm so blessed to be here with you on tonight to welcome you once again to Wounded No More with Pastor Vanessa Carver for this Thursday, June the 9th, 2022. And now, my brothers and sisters, get something to write with and write on, and please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to our anointed host and facilitator, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
And thank you, Pastor Cook. Good evening, everyone. This is a topic. Thank you for joining us on Wounded No More. The topic we're going to talk about tonight is, just like the song said, time. He's an on-time God, but we're talking about the timing of God. As usual, I like to preface it by saying that this is a lesson that will be about edifying, exhorting, and comforting you about time. We know chronos time, which is in the natural, but kairos time is God's timing.
Yes.
And we need, as his children, we need to understand how that works. God was just dealing with me about this because many times we, especially in our society and in our culture, everything is quick, fast, and in a hurry. Well, as we know, if we've been walking with God for any length of time, God takes his time. God wants us to also take our time and be more dedicated and submitted and committed to the process of whatever he's taking us through at, that we don't get stuck on time, that we don't feel like we're running out of time, that we don't get ahead of time. And of course, because part of that is because we're human, we will feel those sentiments. We'll feel like we don't have enough time. Or for some of us, we feel like we don't, you know, I don't want to wait. So you're being impatient. Uh-huh. Like, don't tell me to wait for this, or don't tell me to wait on that. I want it now. I want it yesterday. And right. So that being the case, you know, when we start to talk about healing, we start to talk about, you know, being restored and those things that we talk about on this show, guess what? We don't get our way. When it's time to really dig in and be developed and be healed so that you are wounded no more, that takes time. And guess who's in charge of that? It's not us. It's God.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage you tonight to learn what this is all about. And I'm just going to just share some scriptures, some experiences, and hopefully you let God speak to you in between the lines, in between the things. If you begin to just get on your mind, when was an area or a time in your life where you were either being impatient or you were being slowful because you didn't trust God? All of us have issues or had issues when it comes to that word, time.
Come on.
And the most thing that helps me be the most honest, because that's where it starts, you got to be honest with God and tell him,
yes,
tell the truth, that he will begin to deal with you about that issue in your life. So I want to start with, I've got a couple of the verses and things I'm going to share, Old and New Testament, to see what the word says. And of course, this is not by any stretch of the imagination an exhaustive list. These are just the things that God was dealing with me about. One day I was at work, and I didn't think I was being impatient about something, but there was restlessness going on. You know what I mean? Didn't even know why, and it had nothing to do with my job or anything that I could put my finger on, but I just kept hearing this for a whole week. Trust my timing.
Mm-hmm.
Trust my timing. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was ahead. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I didn't know what was coming. But I kept thinking about that. See, God understands, even when we do, when that restlessness or whatever, where it comes from so deeply that he knows us. And so he said, I want you to study what time is. Study what my word has said about time. One of the scriptures that came up was, for 1,000 years is in your sight. This is in Psalms 90:4. For 1,000 years in your sight are but a yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. That's in the Amplified version of Psalm 90:4. The English version says, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Now, that's not just an allegory or, you know, a saying. It really means something. How does God see? First of all, he's not limited by time like we are. You know, chronos time limits us. It limits how we think. You go to work from, you know, 9 to 5, or some people work double shifts and things like that. So, okay, you wake up, you go to sleep at a certain time because our body needs to sleep. Okay, so we're on a constant time. We're on constant time. But when you begin to just start to think about the mind and the heart of God, this verse is the first thing I think of. 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past to him. And basically it means there's no measure. Time is, he's not restrained by time like we are. He's not influenced by time. So that's why when God says something, it's not anything that is hard to do. You know, that scripture says with God, all things are possible. But sometimes when we start to begin to put time on stuff, and due dates and expiration dates on things.
Come on.
Yes.
We feel like that's our not perception. That's chronos, not kairos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And guess what that can turn into? That can turn into unbelief real quick.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Really quick. It will manifest into unbelief.
That's right, Pat.
And then you find yourself in another territory. Now, It's a slippery slope, is it not? When you start to begin to do our finite thinking, when we start to think we can define time. In Psalms 90:12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom.
Yes.
Now, depending on what you're dealing with, when I think of this one about teaching us, when I see the word teach, I automatically think I'm the student, okay? And either I'm a good one or a bad one.
Always.
That's my own self-evaluation. When I hear God saying teaching, he says, so teach us. This is a desire. Teach us, Lord, to number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it just means that your time clock, it has to do with how you prioritize, what you prioritize. And you have to be taught, which means you don't know it. You have to be taught. How do we know our days? What does that even mean in the context of 2022? Right? So I could stay on that scripture right there. He said, and you know, as I'm reading this and meditating on this, he said, but are you even teachable? Are you teachable right now? Because you've been grown impatient, or you've grown frustrated with time, or in some cases grown you gave up. You just said, this ain't going to happen. This is not going to happen. I'm not going to get wisdom in this area. It's not going to be developed in this area. Teach us to number our days. Teach us. That is a desire. And I said, Lord, teach me to number my days.
Yeah,
Lord, man. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the time. So when I read this, for he says, in the time of favor, of an assured welcome, I have listened to and heeded your call, and I have helped you on the day of deliverance. Behold, now is truly the time for a gracious welcome and acceptance of you from God. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, this is, in a favorable time, I'm reading it in two different versions, the Amplified as well as the English. So, excuse me if it seems repetitive. I always do this because I want to draw out emphasis on certain things, because different versions draw out certain perceptions and concepts. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold. Now this was originally quoted. This is Paul was quoting Isaiah 49:8. And it was when God was, he was delivering them and had heard their cries. In a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. So it's like, this makes me think of prayer. This makes me think of anytime we cry out, anytime we pray or intercede, God hears our cries, but it's for an appointed time.
Yes,
it
does.
We immediately think sometimes that, okay, God, you have a prayer. Okay, I want it now. It's going to happen. No.
Good.
In a favorable time, I listen to you, and in a day. Favorable means that when God even hears you, period, that's a great place to be. Doesn't mean he's always, you know, I have heard your cries. So in a favorable time, I listened to you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, there's a process there. God, the Holy Spirit will speak in between those lines. In a favorable time, I listened. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you.
Yeah.
Help us. You know how you heard people saying, help is on the way? When we begin to pray, help is on the way. And sometimes it is immediate, and sometimes help is on the way. Nevertheless, I know, and we should have faith in knowing that I'm in a favorable place, and when I open my mouth to pray, God hears me.
Yes.
He shall answer me.
Yes.
If I don't put any time stamps on it, if I don't say there's an expiration date, if he don't come now, and I ain't going, I'm going to stop believing, or I'm going to give up.
No.
Just know this. The first time that I started to become encouraged in my prayer life, was when God told me one day, every time you open your mouth to pray, I hear you. And it just brought me to tears because it let me know that he not just hears me. I wasn't even concerned at that time that he was answering my prayer. I just wanted to know he heard me.
He cared
about what I was crying out.
Yeah.
If you allow time to be the dictator or the indicator of whether or not somebody cares for you, especially God, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
Because it's not about every time I try to come running, I can control, God is not one to be manipulated by our crying out.
That's right.
He knows when to come. So don't allow your fretfulness, fear, or whatever it is, or your distraction to tell you who God is when it comes to him hearing you and answering your prayer. So when I read this, this is what I think of. I think of in a favorable time, he is always listening to me. God always hears me. And behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And he knew when he prayed that was going to be, now is the time, because he said it, right? So in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has everything. He has made everything. Many of us are familiar with this, especially learning this as a child in Ecclesiastes 3:11.
Everything
he has made everything beautiful in its time.
Amen.
He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end.
My Lord.
And when I read that one, this is about the attraction to eternal things, how God made us in his image, and how eternity, and I don't want to sound too philosophical or anything, but the way that I'm hearing it, the way that I was when I was reading it was, he has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. And you know what it reminds me of? That scripture that says, he knew us before we were in our mother's womb.
Yes.
He knew us.
Yes.
And so eternally, and his mindset is like that. So we can't understand all the things he sees, but I realized that because he knew what it was going to take to get us from faith to faith and from glory to glory, that's an eternal place, because remember what I said earlier, he's not constrained by time, even though he
has
put us in certain processes. And as long as we're in alignment with his processes, we'll get there. We'll be cultivated. Mm-hmm. We'll be matured. We'll be whole.
Mm-hmm.
But it still does not take away the fact that he sees that before we even was here. He sees the whole thing. It's an eternal thing.
Yeah.
And I think begin to understand, you know what? He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He started this, he's going to finish it. There's no time.
When I think of my age, and
I know I may be younger than everyone else on here right now, but I'm going to tell you, when I got to a certain age, I started to feel like I was running out of time. felt like I was running out of time when it came to a lot of stuff. I felt like I was behind. And when I got to a certain age, now this is real, and I realized a lot of people go through this at certain times in their life. And
yes,
I was going
do.
Through it, y'all. I'm just going to be honest. I'll be 55 this year. And when I turned, I think when I turned 51, I just felt like, not that my life was over, but when it came to certain things, that it was just too late. You wasted too much time. You doubted God. You know, all of these thoughts started to, you took too long to heal. All of that. You took too long.
Glory to God. Glory to
my
God.
My Lord.
Mm. And of course,
come
you
on,
know
Lord.
These are lies. You know these are lies from the devil.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you,
I
was actually in a weak place, and I was listening to that, and it started to bring me into a bad depression.
Yeah.
And
real
I said, I never said that. That's a lie. Don't you ever let the enemy get you so low to where he just pummels and throws everything he can at you because he's trying to stop the purposes of God in you.
Yes,
I don't care
yes.
how old you are.
Amen.
That's right.
And you
say
got
that,
something
say that pastor.
Who God has called you to be and to do is still vital.
Come on, Pastor Bethesda.
He still needs us to be present. So what I learned when I was in that dark place is that what God has said, he has not changed his mind because of my age. He didn't change his mind because I was slowful. He didn't change his mind because I didn't believe. And
that's
so
right.
when I came out of that, I was just like, okay, Lord, we knew the time. Redeem the time. And he did begin to redeem the time. And then I stopped getting focused on that. And they were, this scripture right here talks about, makes me think about, I knew you before you, I knew you were going to be upset about the fact that you thought you were 50 and it was too late. I knew that. But this is what I have for you. Just keep focusing on what God has for you to do. Man and woman of God, if you're listening, be encouraged and begin to renew your mind to what the word says about you as it pertains to your age and what God has called you to do. It is not too late. It's never too late. Just submit
That's
yourself
right.
and commit yourself to God's process, whatever that takes. It's not too late to heal. It's not too late to be whole. If God has said it, he spoke it, and it's so. So in Ephesians 5:15 through 17, look carefully then how you walk, not as an unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time. That right there in 16, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Look carefully. I'm reading it again. Look carefully then how you walk. It goes back to the scripture that I was talking about when it says, so teach us to number our days. Look carefully how you walk. This is Paul. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, making the most of the time, buying up each opportunity. Don't let opportunities pass. Don't be poor, passing over opportunities repeatedly. Don't be poor. Buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. That's our job.
Yeah.
So when I was going through that dark time, this is one of those scriptures, too, that he was saying, look carefully then how you walk. Like, be focused and be purposeful about what you do, who you are. Get in a place to be fed. Get in a place to be full. Serve. You know, be sensitive to the presence of God. Don't be foolish. Don't waste time on things that don't matter. And don't focus on things that don't matter. But be about God's business. Be about God's business. You know, and that pulled me up out of that depression very quick because it let me know, okay, get your perspective together. You know, stop feeling sorry for yourself. You know, and it let me know that it's not too late. Be led. I would cry out, Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. He said, I am, but I'm taking my time. You feel like a clock on here. That's why you get depressed, because you feel like time has passed, and God says, no, time is just you right on time. You're right exactly where you're supposed to be. There is so much to do when it comes, and it's never too late. Whatever is creating us to be sensitive to his presence and not sensitive to other people or to platforms or to anything that draws us away from the purposes of God, that's where we should be. And we got to learn what that is. Remember that scripture? Teach me. We got to learn. We have to be good students. And I love this verse. This is Psalm 31. Verses 14 and 15. But I trusted in and relied on and was confident in you, O Lord. I said, you're my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my foes and those who pursue and persecute me. That scripture right there, 15 specifically, my times are in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
My times are in your hands. So this is David. My times, my purposes, everything that's in me, my identity, is it really in your hands? This has a lot to do, if anybody is catching this, a lot to do with relationships and trust. And the best relationships are the ones that are that the other person or both people are trusting of one another, trustworthy, right? And so when you put something in somebody's hands or something that you value, your life, something of value, you say, I trust them that they'll make sure this is safe. When we talk about our time, our purposes, our calling, our processes, our tests, our trials, they're in God's hands. Period. And when we stop to think about that, and he doesn't disclose to us, okay, what's on the menu? What does that mean when my times are in your hands? That means I trust you with every part of my life, even the hard times, even the dark things that don't make any sense. When David said this, he said, my times are in your hands. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. So there's a, I look at punctuation a lot when I read the word. My times are in your hands, semicolon. There's a pause and a stop. Then he begins to say, so rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. My times are in your hands. Stop. I write it out. I dwell on it. What does that mean? And in this case, he's like, deliver me from the hands of my foes. So if you can say, my times are in your hands, fill in the blank. David was talking about, rescue me from my enemies. But what, how do you finish that sentence? My times are in your hands. You are my God. My times are in your hands. Finish the rest of that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
What are you asking God for? My times are in your hands. So we'll come back to that later. Okay? Okay. And Proverbs 27:1, do not boast of yourself. And tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Now, many of us heard, I heard this a lot growing up, this cooking something. Don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what today may bring. And it's
that's
okay
right.
If you don't know what tomorrow may bring. That's really where this makes me think of. It's like, okay, so does that mean something bad's happening, something I'm not prepared for? No. Don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring. And guess what? That's okay. Because I trust God. And if you go
that's
back
right.
To the scripture I just said, but I trust you, O Lord, you're my God. My times are in your hands. So I won't boast about tomorrow. Well, I don't know what it may bring, but I know you got me. I know I can trust you. See, this is about relationships. This is about intimacy. This is about trust. This is about us growing up. This is about us being developed. This is about confrontation, about what we believe versus what we say we believe. When we know and realize we don't really control nothing anyway, so especially time, but we trust one who does control time, and he's not constricted and restrained by time. That's who you trust, right? So you can go and his and how he sees you and how he looks at us, time is not a filter there. He's eternal. And so all he sees is who he made us to be. And when we're not acting accordingly, he's just like, okay, here we go. You know, he has to remind us through his words. In Acts 1:7, and he said to them, Acts 1:7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his authority. Now this was, Jesus was speaking to them because they were asking them all these questions about, you know, the Romans and they were thinking Jesus was there for one purpose. So it generated all these questions because of how they saw him as a savior to save them from the Romans, right? But then they began to say, he said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know what times bring. And you know that was about a control issue. The things and the events of time and their definitive periods or fixed years and seasons and their critical niche in time, the Father has appointed, okay, fixed and reserved by his own. He's like, don't get distracted by that. Like, you need to know that, and that's going to change what? That's not going to change the will of God. And so this is where we get off track. They ask him all these questions, and I remember, you know, doing this in prayer. Well, Lord, I need to know because then I can plan, you know, commit your works to the Lord. He'll show you how to plan. He'll tell you when to plan, but we want to fixate on it, thinking that it'll give us like some personal power and some personal control. That right there is a heart issue in the first place. And that's why Jesus addressed it. He said, that, you know, stop. It's not for you to know the times and seasons. Father has fixed by his own authority, which means you can't change anything by knowing the time. There's something in us that makes us think that if we know something, we can stop something or speed it up. And he was like, cut it out, because you can't. You can't control this. You got to learn to trust. This cultivates us trusting. This cultivates us saying, when I pray about something, I need to stop coming back and forth and begging because I don't believe or I'm fearful, and that's unbelief. And the Lord says, you just got to trust me. Just take your hands all the way up. You can't control time. Another thing I want to say, too, I was writing this in my notes this week, and it goes right in with this thing. When you are in a person's life, whether it's a family member, a close friend, or someone you know, a brother or sister in Christ, and you know they're going through something, you need to learn to reach the process of what they're going through.
Yeah.
Don't put a time on it. They still ain't over that. They still going through that. You know, and then a lot of times we look like, if it was me, I would have been over that. This is what I would have done. And God said, you need to learn to respect, especially if it's a child of God. You need to learn to respect the process of time of where people are when they're going through things. Mm-hmm. And the only way that you can start, one of the ways, rather, that you can start respecting that is understanding how God sees them and you see them how God sees them and leave that other stuff alone. And stop using filters to judge where people are or their process. Sometimes you know people really are going through. And sometimes it may be, I was telling one of my daughters recently, I said, I went through something for 10 years. 10 years straight. And not until I got out of it did I realize I was going through a 10-year test and trial that was ripping me apart in every way you can imagine. I think a lot of times we think test and trials like for 2 weeks, you know, whatever. I don't know what we think. But the way that we talk about it and the way that it has been taught in the past, people don't talk that, you know, that's why a lot of people are starting to, you can find some great teachings now about suffering. It's not an overnight process. Some people go through things for decades. And yet you come out so much better on the other side. But it's not over until it's over. And if you know that God and believe God is orchestrating it, you need to leave it alone and let it do what it do. Let it have its perfect work. Let it develop what it needs to develop. This is just a short lesson in the fullness of time and due season. Let it do. This is just a short lesson and me sharing about people. If you're struggling with this time thing in your life, understanding and a working understanding of what the scripture says about time for you, for your life right now or for whatever issue you're dealing with. And I'm going to go right back up to that scripture I was saying. When you say, my times are in your hands, my times are in your hands, you are my God. Let's start from the beginning. 14, but I trust in you, O Lord. See uh-huh. that trust? And I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. I trust you. You're my God. My times are in your hands. Fill in the blank. In this case, David said, rescue me from the hand of my enemy. Yours might be a different outcry. Your outcry or your petition might be different. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. And I know you will heal me. And I'll be better on the other side. So strengthen me and give me courage to face what I have to face. And excellent, knowing that you are developing a fully whole and mature child, a child or a woman of God. And that's just me finishing it. I could finish this probably about 6-7 different ways
uh-huh.
just because of the different things that God has laid on my heart for years and years and years. But what would yours be? But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. For some of us, it may take us a minute to think about it. That's okay. Begin to dig in and dig out how to finish that. I won't let people define me. I'm going to walk forward and not back. I will continue to push forward. I know you're going to help me. Open up the eyes of my understanding. Help me to be more humble. Whatever. It could be so many things for us.
Uh-huh.
For sure. Amen. Tonight, I just want to encourage you, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to end in prayer and begin to, like I said, this is a short lesson about God's timing. What does God's timing look like in your life tonight? I thank you, Lord, today for you speaking and continuing to speak so profoundly to us, Lord, because you love us. You're gracious. You're merciful. You're faithful. You're full of love. You know us inside and out. And I thank you, Lord, today that you have spoken and continue to speak to us about time. I thank you, Lord, today that we can trust what you say, even when we don't understand it or like it or it doesn't feel good or make sense. We trust you, Lord, because you knew us, you know us who we are. You know who we're becoming. You know who you made us to be. Even when we don't recognize us, you know who we are and you treat us accordingly. Help us, Lord, as servant leaders, especially specifically when it comes to this, to trust your timing and to commit our works unto you, truly. And whatever you're saying as it pertains to you, you really trust me. Whatever level of suffering or level of test and trial that's developing a deeper trust and a deeper faith in you, Lord, that we begin to cry out for what we need, just like David did. He said, you're my God. I trust you. My times are in your hands. Rescue me from those who oppress me. He had to remind himself. So, Lord, help us to remind ourselves that your timing is perfect. Your will is perfect. Your purpose in us is perfect. I thank you, Lord, today for all the Spirit Alive leaders and those who are listening, you know, all over the country, all over the world, that you begin to speak to them, or this could be a message that's confirming them about some things that you've been saying to them and affirming and encouraging and to be courageous, to look at time the way you look at time in a peaceful place, Lord, with our hands off the wheels, not wanting or desiring to be in control. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Vanessa. Now, yeah, I know that Mother Mitchell had a comment that I would like for her to repeat, because I couldn't hear it because she was, you were both speaking, but so we're going to hear from Mother Mitchell first. But if anyone else is sitting in the studio and you would like to make a comment or ask a question of Pastor Vanessa, if you press 1 on your keypad, I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you're in the chat room and you have a question for Pastor Vanessa, please type it. But right now we're going to let Mother Mitchell come because she was saying something while Pastor Vanessa was teaching. So I just want to hear what that was clearly. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook. I was just agreeing with what she was saying at the time, and she was talking about how sometimes we let outside influences decide for us God's timing for us, and no outside influences on this side of the realm should ever be able to decide what God's timing is for us, no more than it says what God says about us. So
Amen.
I was just saying, sometimes other people do say, well, you know, like she was saying, you'll get over it. She should be over it by now. You know, it's whatever she's going through. If it's 10 years, 20 years, and the same for myself.
Yes.
If that's what's happening with me, it's real to me.
Amen.
And
that's
it's
right.
It's real to us, and we just have to keep praying and keeping and moving closer and closer to the Lord, keeping us. And I think that the other most important thing that she said is we have to have a heart for wisdom. Because when I was very young and started praying, I asked for wisdom. I didn't ask for fancy clothes, for fancy this, for fancy that. I ask for wisdom to understand the word of God, because if you don't read it and study it with wisdom, it's just a lot of words on paper. And I was just saying I agreed with her that, nobody gets to decide that for you. It's real to you, whether they understand that or not.
Amen. Well, I can identify with you, Pastor Vanessa, because to be disabled, and to be disabled at a young age and then have to retire early from the workforce when you love the workforce, I had to deal with that sense of time. You know, it's like, will I ever get to do this? Will I be able to do that? Will I get to do this before my body breaks down? You know? So I understand that, and there is a restlessness and anxiousness. And I just heard God say, peace, be still. Be still.
Yeah.
You know, and he was, you know, because like I said, if I'm trusting God and I'm saying I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, well, disabled, handy, you know, I'm not disabled, I'm handy capable, I'm Holy Ghost filled. I can do all things through Christ, you know, so I shouldn't worry about, you know, as time passes, how my body is going to break down, or if I'm going to be able to do this, or if I'm going to be able to do that. I just need to, you know, I just realized I just needed to praise him, trust him, and let him fulfill my joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when I'm focused on those things, then I really, like you said, you don't get caught up in time anymore. You don't worry about it, because you know when the time comes, it is the appointed time that God, if you're in the will of God, you know whenever, nothing's going to happen, like you said, Pastor Vanessa, until God says so. So we just might as well sit back, learn from the process, or even enjoy the process.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's it.
Even enjoy the process, okay?
Exactly.
And just let God, you know, let God be God.
Exactly,
so
because that's when you learn to be close to him. You know what? That's when you learn to build intimacy with him. And I didn't know how to do that. So, because I was like too focused on, let this be, I'm done, I'm tired, I'm ready for this to be over, instead of you enjoying the process and being a good student instead of a poor one. I didn't learn anything half the time. I was just waiting. I'm just looking at my watch. You know how you're looking at your watch? I'm ready for this to be over. I'm done. So it was an attitude thing. It was an attitudinal thing in our heart.
It really is, my sister, because, you know, as you begin to focus on ways to overcome,
so that you can experience the victory right now. It really does encourage your heart, and it gives you the strength to go on. You know, I don't want to be identified by pain, by age, by, you know, weight. I just want to be a child of God doing what a child of God does.
Right.
You know, so
right.
I just pray. You know, I really do. That's all I want to be known for. I just want to be in that zone where I know God is pleased with me, you know, and I'm, you know, and we walking together. And if I start to stumble, you know, it's like I said, if I get tired, he said, that's when I carried you. He'll carry me. So I pray, like I said, I praise God. I'm just going to do what he says when he says, and I'm not going to worry about the time or being too late or being too early, because I know, like the song said in the beginning, he's an on-time God. So.
And I love that song.
Yes,
I love that you played that, because
yeah.
He is on time. We got to learn to trust that. Only because
mm-hmm.
it lets you know you ain't controlling as much as you think you're controlling. You know?
Exactly.
And that's sometimes that, which is an attitude issue, is what he's trying to expose.
Yeah, that's true. Because we be setting our little timetables. Well, I'm going to have this, you know, but I'm going to do this
exactly.
by August. I'm going to do this by this time. And I'm going to do, well, you know, tomorrow is not even promised to us. So the mm-hmm. Lord is saying, excuse me, what you need to be doing is not worrying about tomorrow, but praising me today.
Today.
Honoring me today, worshiping me today, sharing my gospel today. And what I loved about your teaching tonight is you kept saying, now is the time of our salvation. Look, now is always now. Okay? Now is always now. So for those of you that don't know the Lord in the pardon of your sin, now is the time for you to come to him and give your life to him while the blood still is running in your veins, because tomorrow is not promised, you know. And time does run out for us. Doesn't for God, but it does for us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been, you know, wondering, thinking, looking, searching, Pastor Vanessa and Mother Mitchell and myself, we beseech you to try Jesus. He is sweet. We know he will stick closer than any brother. He loves you best. He loves you first. And he's standing right there in front of you, waiting for you to receive him. And you don't have to worry about, you know, oh my, he's the Lord. What will I say? You just be sincere and go to him and just ask him to forgive you of your sin and to save you. Hallelujah, because you believe that he is the Son of the living God, and that he came and that he died and he rose for your sin. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you pray, the prayer that you need to pray, the step that you need to get that up to the throne room is simply say, in your name, Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah, because there is no, by no other name can we be saved than that of Jesus. Jesus is the only name by which we can be saved. And if you pray that prayer, hallelujah, if you're praying it now in the studio or in the chat room, or you're praying it later on and, you know, as you're listening in the archive,
We just pray that you would find yourself a Christ-centered church, local church, that so that you might be around saints that will edify you and love on you and teach you the ways of God. And we also beseech you to study to show yourself approved. It is very important that we study, and you don't have to worry about that either, because Jesus still has you covered. See, when you said those words, when you asked to be saved, you instantly received the gift in the person of the Holy Spirit. And all you have to do is ask the Lord to teach you, and the Holy Spirit will instruct you. All you have to do is humble yourself and be willing to listen, to trust, and obey. So I just want to thank you, Pastor Vanessa, look, for this short but very timely message, and every pun was intended. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We truly enjoyed it. Mother Mitchell, thank you for your comments. We want to thank everyone for listening. So on behalf of Pastor Vanessa, myself and Mother Mitchell and all of us here in Spirit Alive at the Spirit Alive Network, we just want to pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, and that you continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow is a very special evening as we honor the mighty men of Spirit Alive. It is such a blessing when you have brothers that will come along beside you and be faithful. And these are truly men of God that deserve honor, because they follow Christ and they are just stand-up men. So join us tomorrow as we honor the mighty men of God of Spirit and of Spirit Alive tomorrow. And we pray that you continue to walk with us and acknowledge Christ. And from my household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Thank you, Pastor Vanessa. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I love you.
Have a good night.
We love you.
You too.
You. Love you.
Love you.